Good morning, this is Ricky Harrison. I'm the leader of the Adult 2 class at Beulah Baptist Church, Newton County, Mississippi. This morning we're going to look at our Sunday school lesson for March the 29th. This is taken from Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. The theme of this lesson is, all who accept the gospel will find peace with God. We have been studying since March the 1st in the book of Romans, and this entire book is dedicated to the thought that all people need Jesus Christ. They need justification. They need salvation. And that's one of the things that Paul was trying to stress to his people. It was for the Jew and it was for the Gentile and it's for the entire world. These verses 1 through 11 are broken into three parts. Verses 1 through 5, Paul will list some of the benefits of justification, such as peace with God, access to God's grace, and the hope of glory. Verses 6 through 8, Paul recorded how God demonstrated his love by sending Jesus to die for us on the cross. Verses 9 through 11, Paul introduces us to the concept of reconciliation. So let's look at verse number 1 here this morning. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith is what this entire book of Romans is all about. Being in our right standing, being in our right relationship with God. And that is a result of us putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And because we have put our faith in Jesus Christ and have that justification, then we can be at peace with God. This is not something that we can accomplish on our own, but as verse 1 says, it comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace that he's talking about here is different than anything else that we might could ever experience. We live, as all of us know, in a suffering world more and more every day. People are scared. There's panic has taken over our world. And I believe most of the people in this world today live in fear and don't possess this peace that Paul is talking about here. They don't possess that peace that he talks about in Philippians 4, verses 7 through 9, where he says that God will protect us. The peace of God. And think about what he also says in that verse there, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. This is the kind of peace that we can know and that we can understand once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Look at verse number 2. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In verse number 2, Paul begins to list some of these benefits that come from the peace that we have with God. He says we have access, which means as children of God, we have access to God. What is this access? What do we have? It's the benefits that the many gifts that God gives us, and all that he gives us is a gracious gift. And we have the glory that he's talking about, this glory of God, and we also can have hope. We need to rejoice in that hope that we have this morning. And one of the things he says there at the end, he says, talking about rejoicing in this, he was rejoicing because of what God had done for him in his life. And we know the story of Paul and what all he had been through. And there are many examples of that throughout the Bible. But the word rejoice right there is translated from a Greek word meaning to boast, and not to let us pride get in our way. But if we need to brag on what God has done for us, if we can't brag about God, then who can we brag about? So let's look at verse number three here this morning. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. This verse, Paul moves quickly from talking about boasting about the glory of God, the gifts from God that come from him, to talking about having glory in tribulations. I know that we all understand what tribulations are, and it's a test for us, it's a challenge for us. But I like what this author says and how he describes tribulation. He said tribulations is described as a produced pressure on an individual, either physical or emotional. We've all experienced this from time to time. And I don't think this verse could come at a better time. Every one of us, we're out of our routine, our schedule has changed, we're doing things different than we did a month ago. This virus has wreaked havoc on our society. So many things have changed things that we never thought that we experienced. But look at what verse number 4 says. But this patience and it produces experience, and experience hope. This is what Paul says the tribulations will bring. If we can learn from them, from these tests and the things, we can come out on the other side being a stronger Christian. And that's what he's saying here, is this patience and experience. And this is a word, these are two things that we may talk about a lot today. And I think it's two things that we're not really born with a lot of, is a lot of patience. And we're not certainly not born with experience. But we can find hope once we go through some of these tribulations. In the English Standard Version, sums it up this way. It says, suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So I believe that speaks to each of us today. Look at verse number 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In verse 5, this hope is not just something that we think may happen or it may come about. This hope is a guarantee, and it comes through Jesus Christ to us. Once we're saved and we have the Holy Spirit living in our heart, then we can experience these things, and we know that God's not going to let us down. And I think that's the confidence that Paul had here, knowing that you can count on God. We may not can count on each other. We may let somebody down, but we can always count on God. And once we are saved and we have that companion, that Holy Spirit, it's always there for us. And it's what we need many, many times. And this is something that gets us through our daily walk. So rely on that Holy Spirit that comes through salvation. So look at verses 6 through 8 here. And remember, this is where we said that Paul is recording how that his love by sending Jesus to die for us, that he loved us so much. Verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. How does Paul here describe us as in being relative to God? He says, number 1, that we're without strength. And number 2, that we were ungodly. Without strength simply means that we cannot do anything on our own. We're powerless. And then the next part there, what does it mean to be ungodly? As a whole, humanity has always had kind of an open rebellion toward God's law. But it says there in the last part that when we were like this, that Jesus Christ was sent to die on the cross for us. And it was in due time that he did this. This means that Christ's death and his time here on earth, this was a designated time set by God, and it was only set by God. And that's what fulfilled his plan for our salvation. Look at verse number 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Paul is showing the nature of Jesus' death, what it meant. This is difficult for us to understand, that someone would come and be willing to live on the earth and then die on the cross for all of mankind. And he's asking us here, would we be willing to die for a righteous man? And even perhaps a good man, could we do that? Or could we die for a family member? It's hard to explain what Jesus did for us on the cross, but boy, it's a difference in heaven and hell right here. But just think for a minute of what Jesus did as he died there on the cross. Those that didn't like him, he died for those. Those that turned away from him, he died for those people. He died even for those people who killed him, and he died for all, and he died for you and me. Verse number 8 says, but God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And here in this verse, it says that God, you really see his love for us and for the world, because, well, yes, we were sinners, but God came and he died on that cross for us. And it reminds us, I think, of what John 3:16 says here, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's one of the first verses we all remember, and has often been said to be the most precious verse. So I believe it fits right there. And in this verse, number 8, is a verse that we use a lot of times when we're presenting the Roman road, if we're witnessing to someone. It's a verse that I've known for a long time, and it means a lot to me because it's me. That's who I am. I was a sinner, but yet Christ died for me. He took my place. So let's look at the last three verses here, verse number 9. And remember, this is talking about reconciliation. It says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And if we're in the right standing with God and we get our relationship with him right, then that leads to our salvation. And how is this accomplished? It's through the reconciliation. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And what does it do? Once we have that salvation, it says that we're saved from the wrath of God, that we are saved from that final judgment. And I believe that's what that's referring to, is the final judgment of evil. Verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Before we were saved, it says that we were enemies of God. If you go back to verse 6, it says we were without strength. And even in verse 8, he says that we were sinners. So what has happened? This is the reconciliation. You know as well as I do, a lot of times relationships between people, they don't always work, and they're strained, to say the least. It may be two men that are feuding or fighting, or it may be a failed marriage or whatever. But, you know, how can we experience this reconciliation that God is talking about here? It's simply because of the death of Jesus Christ. And that's why he died for you and he died for me. And we need to put our faith in him. When we do that, our relationship is going to be changed. Look at the last verse right here. And it's not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What Jesus did for us saved our life. And in verse number 11 right here, Paul is saying that everything that I've said up until this point is true. And I want you to believe this. And I think you can rejoice in the God because of this, because of that atonement. We have received reconciliation through the death, through Jesus' death on the cross. He took my place and he took your place. And salvation is for all. Think about the weight. Think about the burden of the whole world upon Jesus' shoulders here. And that's something that we can carry with us each and every day, to know that we have salvation. But what about you this morning? If I don't know who's listening, but do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know this peace? Do you have this right relationship with God? It's very easy, and I'm going to walk you through this plan this morning. It says, you know, the first thing we have to do, we just have to admit that we're a sinner. We go back to those verses in Romans in the early chapters where it talked about, for all have sinned. Number two, I think we need to repent of our sins. We have to ask forgiveness of our sins, and then we have to believe that Jesus Christ died for us. And then once we accept him into our heart and let him live in our heart, we need to pray that he would come and be part of us. So I don't know where you are this morning, but if you need help, if you'll go to our website, and on the right-hand side, there's a menu tab, and it has a contact us there. You can contact someone at the church, and certainly they will get in touch with you. We'd like to help you find Jesus Christ. We want everyone to have this hope. We want everyone to have this peace that we have been talking about here this morning. I want to mention a couple of things for our class here for prayer this morning. I want us to pray for each other. I want us to lift each other up each and every day. And I want us to pray for our church. You know, as I said earlier, you don't know how much you miss it till you cannot go. And we're coming back. And when we come back, it'll be strong. We'll be stronger than ever. But continue to pray for our church. Pray for those that are elderly in our church that don't need to get out. Just pray that this virus would go away. Pray that we'd be able to get back to our normal life. I'd ask you to pray for Brother Gary and Miss Dixie as they lead our church here. Lift them up each and every day. Pray for our deacons. Pray for Brother Luke and his team as they're putting together these worship services for us, and what a difference that makes to each day for us to be able to go there. You can listen to it day after day, and that's one of the good things about what we're doing. So pray for all of these things, and I just we look forward to next week's lesson. Right now, I don't see the schedule changing. I think we'll meet like this again another week. So next week's lesson is in Romans 6, verses 1 through 14, where it talks about finding freedom from the guilt of sin. So let's study that, and we'll come back next week. I'd like to close with a word of prayer here this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I just thank you for the writing of Paul and for what it means to each one of us. I thank you for the plan of salvation. I thank you for Jesus Christ coming and living on the earth. And Lord, just paying the price for me and for all of us that can hear us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would be with our church. I pray that you would be with everything that we do and undertake that would bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, I pray for Brother Gary and Miss Dixie. Lord, just lift them up, keep them safe, Lord. And Lord, just give them the knowledge and the wisdom to know how to lead here at Beulah. Lord, I pray for our deacons. Just bless them. Lord, I pray for Luke and his team, Lord, as they lead us. I pray that you would just bless them in everything that we try to do as we bring these messages to our people. Lord, just thank you for loving us so much, God, and thank you especially for the peace that we talked about this morning. We thank you for the hope that we have. I just pray that each one of us would know you as a personal Savior, Lord, here this morning. And God, I ask you just to forgive me my sins. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.